Hello and welcome back to The Grub. Thanks for joining us. Tonight, I'm joined in the studio by Reese Nicholson for a special Ben and Reese Culture Hour. Reese, you know, you are a big fan of culture. What's some of the best culture that you've ever seen?
Oh, I love culture so much. I love walking down the street and everything's culture. You know, we live in Melbourne, the city of culture.
That's right. You used to live in Sydney, though. Tell us about that.
People at parties laugh at me when I say things like, the only culture in Sydney is a bloody Petri dish. and they go, what do you mean?
What do you mean? Is it a science thing?
Well, as an artist, I don't understand much about science. But in a way, art is science.
Reading a book, you know.
And it was 2 years ago I started reading.
Wow.
And a book.
Yeah.
And I was like, because I used to, what are these symbols?
What do these symbols mean?
What are they? And now I understand.
Yeah.
They're words, Ben.
And I remember you telling me I only eat at restaurants with pictures. And I always thought that was because, well, you know, you're arty, you're mysterious, you're genius, and you don't need to justify your behavior because you're such a genius, and genius gets thrown around a lot.
I'm kind of, some people are picky eaters. I'm a pointy eater. I'll just point at something I want to eat and go, yeah, give it! And then I eat it.
Mm, that's proud.
Yeah, I'm a plattle.
You're a plaid.
I'm a
plaid boy.
I'm a plaid, proud, illiterate. I'm proudly plaid.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And a congratulations to all those out there just getting a little cultured. And
proudly being plaid.
Proudly being plaid. Tonight, we're going to take you through some of our favourite culture, you know?
Oh, tonight we're going to be speaking to so many special friends of ours and special guests.
Special, maybe guests, but or definitely we're going to be reading some things to you, the listener, and we've got some special little plays that we're going to put on.
I love a play.
You love a play.
I've often thought of myself as a playwright, because that's an interesting thing about me. Mm. I can't read, but I can write quite well.
Hmm. Well, I mean that's not uncommon. Say, like, you know, some people can read Japanese, but not a lot of people can write it.
No,
except for Japanese people.
It does,
and people that have, you know, spent the time to learn it.
Because I do a lot of writing, but not being able to read does make it quite tough to edit.
Mm.
I really just have to kind of give what I've got.
Well, you know what.
Reese.
Yes. You know what Reese used to say?
Oh.
Hello.
Hello. I'm Reese.
Yes. And I think we can all learn quite a lot from that, if not something.
Yeah.
Hmm.
It's a no shoes household, so just leave your shoes at the door and then you can walk around.
Hello and welcome back to The Grub, special culture hour.
Culture hour.
Now, Reese.
Ben.
You know I love reading.
Yeah. Rub it in my face all the time. You call me up and you say, I'm just reading.
So, and I'm a bit of an author myself.
Yeah.
I previously on this show done a fabulous erotic fan fiction about the logistics and trucking magnate, Lindsay Fox.
Oh.
Where we were found in an elevator and...
outfoxed.
Yeah.
Did you do it Fox style?
We did. We did do it
Foxy style. Style?
Big time. Anyway, so I thought that I would explore that further.
Mm.
And I thought, who else could I do it with and sort of write who could be my muse? And so I picked one that I think you might appreciate. It's a little bit more well-known than Lindsay Fox. It's the businessman, entrepreneur, I would say retail magnate, Jerry Norman.
Oh!
Co-founder of Harvey Norman. Yes. Yeah, I just thought that I would read you a little passage from it and see what you thought. Feel free to give me your reactions and vibes throughout. And if you need to ask questions, feel free to stop me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. I'll just put some music underneath.
Yeah.
Okay. The cool water came as a relief to my sweaty, painted face. I was pulling an all-nighter. I'd just spent 5 hours miming at this Christmas party and had five more to go before my shift was up. But this was my break, and the white face paint was suffocating my sweet, usually moist cheeks.
Oh no.
I dab my now naked face skin with a washcloth and hear the doorknob click from behind. I'm in here. I yell, muffled by my washcloth, like a scream into a pillow in the night.
It's okay, replies a voice as I lower the cloth to see who's talking. I own the place.
There, reflected in the mirror, slowly coming into focus is the figure of Jerry Norman, co-founder of Australian appliance superstore Harvey Norman.
You don't have to go,
Jerry exclaimed, sliding past me to stand at the toilet.
You know what it's like when nature calls.
I try to reply, but Jerry has already fished his sturgeon out of his stream.
Oh, crap.
My God, I think. How much caviar is in that?
Oh.
I push the thought out of my mind as I continue to wipe the remaining white paint from my ears.
You know, I started Harvey Norman with my friend Norman Ross,
he said, between sighs as he struggled to start what he came here to do.
We were vacuum salesmen,
he froze, and looked at me in the mirror. So I know a good one when I see it. He turned his body to reveal his 80-year-old hose. I looked into its eye as sweat beaded on my recently dried forehead. That's quality craftsmanship, I replied. Could this be happening? In a busy party? The man who co-founded Norman Ross? In 1961, that would later, after becoming insolvent, transform into the national retail superstore Harvey Norman?
You don't get 166 franchised outlets nationally, as well as many other subsidiaries like Domain, Jorce Main, and The School Locker by being coy.
School Locker?
Hmm. It's another one that he's got.
I don't know what that is.
He's also in Singapore. And
well,
New Zealand.
Sounds like he's a bit of a sex tourist, so...
He stepped towards me, my mongrel tingling as I felt his tummy rub against my thigh. If his second wife, Katie Page, that he married in 1988, is now the CEO, this could be my ticket out of here. I do prefer a very hands-on approach to business.
Maybe you've heard me doing the ads on the radio.
I hadn't, but I liked what I felt. Our lips locked passionately as my white mind gloves glided over his thin, papery skin of his bald head.
Ugh.
I heard you like horses, I said through the frenzy. How about some... How about some ropes you don't have to mime?
Ooh.
I said, undoing my suspenders and pulling down my baggy black mime pants.
Mime pants.
Mime pants.
Are they a real thing?
Yeah, mime pants.
Mime pants.
It's an industry term.
Okay.
I love breeding racehorses.
Harvey has one of the world's largest thoroughbred portfolios. with over 600 thoroughbreds in his stables, so I trusted him when it came to thoroughbreds.
Can I just step in for one second? Yep. In the gay community, if you breed someone, that means that you fuck them without a condom. So just if you want to...
I'm sorry, I really missed an opportunity there.
Yeah. Just for...
No, I'm glad you're
the
here.
The next time you do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, next time I'll definitely... Maybe, that was definitely missed.
Maybe Farlap. Or...
Maybe Bart Cummings.
Yeah.
How would you like a hot deal all over you? He said, pushing me down onto my knees. I'd love one, even though I can probably find it cheaper at JB Hi-Fi or the Good Guys. Well, it's the service that counts, he sharply remarked as he fed me his half-year clearance sale, and I paid in cash. But instead of cash, it was my mouth. And instead of lukewarm deals, it was hot Jerry Norman hog. He squealed with ecstasy as I showed the old vacuum cleaner salesman my pitch. Ironically, you're quite the Dick Smith. I face-fucked Jerry like a... I face-fucked Jerry like it was the unions and I was Sunday trading hours. Then I felt a rumble from deep within him. Oh my God, he cried, feeling it too. But there was fear in his eyes. Go, Harvey Norman, go! The rumble erupted into a turbulent tirade of piss. Jerry was flung around the room like a badly tied balloon, showering hot piss over everything. For a moment, I felt like I was a kid again. This is fucked. Playing in the fire hydrant on a hot summer's day in New York City. Then I realized I'd never lived in New York City. That was just a movie. Before I knew it, the eruption had stopped, and Jerry lay on the cistern of the toilet, deflated and empty, like a badly worn Jerry Norman suit. He looked at me, scared, eyes wild.
There's been political uncertainty since John Howard left office. The only solution is to have a dictator like in China.
I shivered. Shh, I said, putting my finger to his lips. Go be with your co-founder and business partner. You're safe now. And with that, he went limp, a smug little smile across his wilted lips, staring blankly at me. I closed his eyes. Everything was gone. The end.
Well, Benjamin, I am rock hard.
I'm annoyed about the thoroughbred, really. I should have...
Look.
I should have checked with
always
you.
Always ask me. Call me anytime and say, hey, does this mean something in the gay community? Use me as an encarta for cum.
You speak for all...
Yeah.
Homosexual people.
All of... Yep. As I've said on stage before, I'm the gay Lorax. I speak for all the treetops and all the tree bottoms.
And with that, let's have a little bit more culture with this.
One time I looked into a tube, and inside the tube was another little man. And the little man looked at me from the tube and said, look at my tube. And I looked at his tube. And inside that tube was the grub.
Come on down to the Regent Theatre to see Warhorse!
Warhorse!
Experience an unforgettable journey when the National Theatre of Great Britain's internationally acclaimed production of Warhorse comes to Melbourne!
New York Times says it's theatrical magic!
Bring the truck! Bring the trailer! Kids get in free!
Sunday Telegraph says it gallops away with your heart!
A remarkable story of courage, loyalty and friendship!
Epic! Magnificent! Impressive!
Don't forget puppetry!
Now! Tick-tack! Do it now!
Welcome back to The Grub. This is a special culture episode.
It's The Grub!
Now, I am talking to... I mean, Reese is not just a comedian, a humorous.
Parts of the internet say I'm not even that.
He's not just a style icon. He is an actor.
I'm an actor.
On film and television.
I've done some acting lessons. I'm trying to get a little bit more involved in acting.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, well, I mean, you've got a very emotive face.
I've got rubbery almost.
Yeah.
But no, I think, people often think of me as a comedy actor.
Yep.
But I think I've done some drama roles.
You've done drama as well. And a lot of people don't know this because, I mean, there's so many episodes, but you were actually on Law and Order.
Yeah.
For a little while as well.
You were
just in one episode.
And I don't want to give anything away, but I was in one episode and I was a pretty major part of an episode.
Yeah. And we've got a little sound clip of it here. And you just to sort of, because obviously you can't see it, but Reese says character. What is your character?
I'm so clear, like he's kind of, he grew up in the Bronx.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of running like a bodega now. It's in the Jerry Orbach days.
Mm-hmm.
And they come to interview me about a possible murder and that I might have some connection. And I'm just kind of moving boxes.
Okay, great.
At the back of my bodega.
Okay, cool. Okay, so let's roll.
So grew up in the Bronx.
Yeah, grew up in the Bronx.
Grew up in the Bronx.
Okay, great.
In the criminal justice system, the people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups: the police who investigate crime and the district attorneys who prosecute the offenders. These are their stories.
Mr. Valdez, where were you between the hours of 5 and 10 o'clock last night?
Well, I was probably with my wife.
Okay, can your wife corroborate that
alibi? Can you hold this box, please?
Sure, I don't really... Okay.
Thank you! I was with my wife. We've been together for 2 years. We are young people. We own this bodega together. I didn't murder that little boy.
You were described a witness. Eyewitness described someone with long black hair and a beard.
And I have both those things. That's true. But it wasn't me.
And you, sir, do match the description. We're going to have to ask you to come down and accompany us to the...
No, I've got a gig. I'm a comedian.
Okay, so we're just going to have to get you to come down, sir. We've got some things. Is this your hat?
No, I have to go back to Australia. I have to go. Goodbye.
Wait. Okay.
Catch me.
He's
Catch
making
me.
A run. For it.
Me.
Get him. Get him.
So, that was a fantastic little clip.
So, you can see I just really inhabit the role.
Yeah. Really good stuff.
It's a different person.
Now, you were actually... You played the other side, on the other side of the law.
Yeah.
In an episode of Bones.
Bones.
Where you were... What? You were just like a little detective or...
Yeah. I played...
Helped out Jason... Boreanaz.
Yeah. And he was... Was he Bones?
No, he wasn't Bones. The other one was Bones. The lady
was Bones. Oh, because my last name was Bones. So I must have been playing her cousin.
Yeah, right.
Jared Bones.
Yeah. So... I've got a little clip from this.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're after sort of a cold case, is that right?
Yeah, like, I was like one of those detectives, kind of like the show Cold Case. It was kind of a Cold Case Bones crossover.
Yeah, even right.
They're on different networks. It was a big coup. Yeah, it's a cold case. I'm working on a cold case of a little girl that went missing in the 70s, and no one knows where she is. That's she went missing.
A lot of children.
Yeah. Well, that's how you know that a TV show is good, is if a child is murdered in it.
That is true. That is true. You know it's dramatic.
Yeah.
So let's have a listen. Okay.
Yeah. Here it is.
So in this scene, what are you doing in this scene again?
I'm speaking to my cousin, Bones.
Bones.
And we're talking about the case.
Okay. Great.
I think she starts the thing.
Okay.
What did you find out from the records?
oh, I was looking through the records, and I kept looking and looking, and all I could see was that she went missing.
I don't get it, Bones. I've been looking at these bones for so long.
I know.
Usually the bones tell me what happened, but these bones are silent. What do you suggest?
You talk a lot about bones.
I'm Bones. So are you.
Yeah.
You're my cousin.
Yeah, but I don't talk about bones. Like, I kind of just get past that my name is Bones and...
Have you seen Jason Boreanaz?
Yeah. Is he Bones?
He's not Bones, but I love him, but also not really.
Oh.
It's kind of a, like, will she, won't she...
Like moonlighting.
A lot like moonlighting.
Yeah, the moonlighting.
A lot like moonlighting with, Bruce Willis.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I gotta go now. Bye, catch me!
So that's another fantastic dramatic role.
I just really inhabit roles. I don't know if you can tell in that one, they let me kind of play around with the scene a little bit.
No, I noticed that. And it's cool that they sort of allow improv with those sorts of heavy, what I assume is quite a sort of tight schedule.
Oh, people were furious at me on the day.
Yeah.
Like, I kept doing it.
But,
you know, the director was really happy with it. Martin Scorsese.
Oh, great. Nice. And now, you aren't just... involved in sort of fiction.
Mm.
You were recently on a documentary.
Yep.
About, I saw you, Werner Herzog.
Yeah.
He does these great documentaries about sort of people on death row.
Yeah.
And you were in that?
Yeah, I was on death row for a little bit.
Why?
Haven't we ever talked about this?
No.
Oh, I killed a
child.
Well, no. So they thought I had.
Uh-huh.
But it was just all the shows that I was watching from my house. My neighbours were convinced. And they, a little kids started disappearing around my house.
Yeah.
Okay. But I didn't do it. And that's how I got off.
Okay.
That's not how I get off, killing kids.
No.
But I got off.
Yeah. Sexually.
Sexually. Well, you would. If you got off... Look, man, if you get off death row, it's a wank like you'll never have again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know, but you do.
I do. Yeah. It's crazy.
Anyway, so we're going to be looking at this scene. Can you just tell us a little bit about this scene?
Yes.
You're talking about your last meal?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
With Werner?
Yeah. Werner and I are sitting there and he kind of, basically just asked me what my last meal might be. And I just kind of systematically go through that.
Okay.
Reese, before we start, I just want to say that we are not friends. I don't respect you.
Oh.
I don't approve of what you've done, but this is purely an academic look in insight into what it's like to be on death row and the state's fixation with capital punishment and death.
Hmm. I mean, that feels like a very rude way to start this.
So, a lot of the time... They are given last meals before the death takes place, death, the execution.
Yeah. At the end of the row,
What would you say you are looking forward to?
I mean, again, I just want to come back to the fact that you've really started off this conversation quite, like, I respect you. I like all your kind of work. And sure, I'm accused of killing some children. But do we not remember I got nominated for the Barry once? Like, there are things to respect about me. Okay, so I think for my last meal, you know, you can go so many different ways.
As Reese talked, I knew that he was a man living on borrowed time. However, he refused to admit any guilt or have any feelings about the atrocities that he once committed to all those children.
Cheesecake. I'd like a nice piece of cheesecake. And a black coffee.
So, that's that one. So, really amazing stuff.
I'm a very talented person.
Yeah. Cheesecake, really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
What do you think your last meal would be?
Chicken. Yum,
chicken.
Yum.
Actually, I you know, it's a joke answer, but I think I would eat a lot of I would ask for electric chair, and I would eat a lot of corn kernels, like dry corn kernels, and then when they turn on the electric chair, I'll turn into a popcorn machine.
back after this.
We take a whole bun and we deep fry it, and then we put a little something on it, and then you get it and you grab it up and you put it in there, and it gets all gooey with 100% real dirty business. And if you get in there, you get your little fingers in there, you'll find 100 different sauces. You come on down to Brown Town, and you'll get it real bad. Ooh. The Grub.
Welcome back to The Grub. I'm here with Reese Nicholson.
And me, Reese Nicholson.
Who has just found his land legs again.
Oh.
You have been on a cruise.
Love a cruise.
Love it. For work purposes.
For work, for yeah. No, I wouldn't go on a holiday on a cruise. Jesus.
No, especially not in this climate.
No, thank you.
No, thank you. Was very surprised, and it's a good thing that this is a culture episode, because you worked with, well, what I would say was a legend.
Yeah.
In the sort of field of comedy and entertainment.
I was shocked that I, you know, because quite often people that do cruise ships, it's a stereotype. The stereotype is changing, but quite often people are either on their way up or on their way down doing the cruise ships. But this is
A special moment
that I met one of my heroes.
So she was just in town, like on cruise, and now she's in Melbourne ready to do her comedy festival.
Which I'm very looking forward to. But I was able to, I was kind of present, and I'll be honest, one of those people, I don't care about people's privacy.
Yeah.
Does not interest me.
Yeah, no, you're famous for it. You're a famous people.
I'm Mr. Facebook, they call me. I just don't care.
Yeah.
That
and you're old and nobody uses you.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
I do cruise ships. But I saw this comedian being interviewed for the job of a comedian on a cruise ship, and I just put my phone on.
Yeah. So this is dialogue that you capture between the cruise director giving sort of this icon a brief.
What to do.
Okay. Cool.
When you're expecting.
Great. Okay, wonderful. Let's play it.
Okay. I'm Tony, cruise director. Love it. It's such an honor to meet you. So just before we get the show started, I thought I'd just take you through a little bit of paperwork we've got to do here. So first of all, what is your name?
Waiting around is for the birds. I get someplace and you aren't there. This little dove's flown the coop, and she ain't coming back for no cheap seed. I'm funny lady.
Okay, and is that your full name, or...?
Where are the limes? I need more limes,
darling. Oh, I don't know if we have any limes on board. I mean, maybe, what, do you want a drink or something? Are you feeling unwell?
I simply adore limes.
You like limes?
And this is the Navy, darling. You gotta watch out you don't get scurvy. That's what limes are good for, you understand?
I think that's oranges, isn't it? That's oranges.
They say home is where the heart is. Well, if that's the case, then my heart's in the sea. Not that I like the sea, mind you. Salty business. But I love a man in uniform. I adore the troops.
Okay, well, and that brings us... So in the 35-minute show, you are not allowed to say the C word, if that's all right.
Last time I showed my ankles was when I performed for the troops. Caused so many stiffies, they named it D-Day.
Wow. Well, I think that might work at the Late Show, if you're going to say that on stage. People like that type of stuff. It's really good if you're a cruise comedian. Funny lady, just try this.
I'm a light sleeper. If I even hear a peep, I'm up and around like a carousel, except without the horses. And I don't need no man to operate, you understand? I simply despise the carnival.
Well, the bar's closed at midnight, so if you're going to be walking around, you're going to be a little bit bored. We can get you a sleeping pill?
You think you're busy? I'll tell you, busy. It's having 10 prize bitches on heats. My villa is so steamy, I've got naked Russian billionaires doing business in my pantry. I'm funny lady.
Okay, well, that one was inappropriate, I think, funny lady.
I never check the weather forecasts. There's always a chance for precipitation when I'm around. You understand? This lightning never strikes twice. Thrice, maybe. I'm funny lady. If anyone needs me, I'll be doing limes in the bathroom. I'm funny lady.
Wow.
Yep.
The funny lady.
Yeah, and you know what? She fucking killed.
Of course she
eight
did.
Eight people.
She killed eight people. Wow.
There was a mutiny, and I am lucky to be alive.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And it's funny because that's all been kept out of the media.
Yep. Well, you know. My theory is that Funny Lady started coronavirus.
Really?
To get it out of the media. To get her murder of eight people on a cruise ship out of the media.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So she released it.
Yeah. She kept a little... She had this little vial around her neck. She always had this little vial. She was like, they'll know. They'll all know.
Interesting.
She's Funny Lady.
Well, that is fascinating. Thank you so much for that insight into... the bright lights of entertainment show business.
Yeah. That's all right.
Next up, this.
Hello, my name's Grobbin. Would you like to maintain eye contact with me? If you said yes to any of those questions, call this number now. 000-000-000. Or visit me under the bridge. I'll be there, waiting to maintain eye contact.
Little noses, big noses, you want noses, we've got noses. We've got noses that are long, we've got noses that are short, we got nose holes as high as the sky is long. If you want different noses, then come on down to Jeffrey's Nose School. We teach noses, yes, but we also sell them at Jeffrey's Nose School. Nobody knows noses like Jeffrey's Nose School. Nose.
So much culture.
Mmm.
Culture both in all senses.
Like a rash.
Mmm. Like a cirrhosis.
Mm.
Psoriasis.
Cirrhosis is what happens to the liver, right?
Yeah.
Psoriasis.
Yeah, a little
beautiful
dry.
Name for a girl.
This is my daughter, psoriasis. That's good.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you so much for joining us. As always with the Grub, the Grub of the Week is always Scott Morrison.
Yep.
And as always on the Grub, we refuse to have Louis C.K. on as a guest.
Fuck you. Did you say Louis?
I did then.
Louis. Oh, yeah, some people say Louis. Some people, I say... sex offender.
Yeah, because we here at the Grub think that rape is bad. Mm. Very brave of us to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't be a bad person.
Don't be Lister.
Mm. Yes.
How about that?
Mm. Great way to end, great way to start, great way to live.
Bye.
Thank you so much and good night. Oh, I nearly forgot.
I love you.
We've got a live show. We got many live shows.
Oh. You've got a lot on this comedy festival.
We do. We do have a lot. An awful lot on, let me tell you. So please leave the link for our live shows. We've got them there on every Saturday of the comedy festival on from like 4.
Yep.
And it's going to be a good time. Come down. Say hi. We're going to do some fucked shit.
Mm-hmm.
As usual, as this one is.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, thank you so much.
New from Sony Records, Beaker sings the hits.
Me.
I got nothing. I can't think of anything.